This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, May 16th, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in a storm-tossed edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. 67 degrees, a high today of 80, and we are looking for some pretty heavy showers and thunderstorms this afternoon.
The details on a tornado warning in effect until 12:30 for portions of LaSalle, Kendall, and DeKalb counties. That's coming up in 3 minutes, but first, let's take a look at what's happening on the markets. The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank, and let's go to Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, better-than-expected earnings reports from Walmart and Cisco Systems have Wall Street erasing the last of Monday's losses. The Dow up 236 points, or almost 1%. NASDAQ gaining 92, more than 1%. And the S&P also advancing more than 1%, or 32 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.75%. Only the Dow remains in the red for the week, sliding less than 0.2%. Housing starts rose in April to a three-month high. Starts of both single and multifamily projects advanced. That shows signs of positive momentum for the housing industry. Building permits also rose. America's labor market remains tight, even with signs of economic growth moderating. Jobless claims down last week to 212,000. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the latest on the trade war as China cuts its holdings. We will be checking out one of the Chicago area liberal arts colleges as our College Week continues.
And we'll also talk about what STEM jobs your child could, or STEM fields your child should study to make sure that he or she is set up for a high-paying job once they get out of school.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. We will discuss the possible choice of a small college in our next segment. Right now, a report on housing starts and other components leading today's data. We're joined by Robert Dye, chief economist at Comerica Bank in Dallas. We have weekly jobless claims and U.S. housing starts. What are you interested in here, Robert?
Hi, Chris. Well, it was very good news to see the housing starts numbers come up more than expected. And so that's definitely a positive for the U.S. economy. I think there are four very quick things to say about the housing market. Consumer fundamentals are good. That's a positive. Student debt, though, is a persistent negative, and that's hurting the market. Lower interest rates recently are very good. But I also think this has been a very long cycle, and so there's not a lot of pent-up demand out there to really bring that opportunistic buying in on a fundamental, sustained basis. So numbers are good, but I think from here on out, it's still going to be a flat-to-down housing market.
Interesting, we've put aside this week on the Noon Business Hour to talk about college, getting into college, how to get the best offer so that you can have a few bottles of ale without going broke. But you're saying that there's a real difficulty hurting the economy.
Well, we definitely are paying attention to the recent dust up between the U.S. and China in terms of trade wars. The tariffs on both sides are not good for anybody in the near term, regardless of what you think the longer term benefits may be. And in fact, today we're seeing reports that Walmart is going to be saying that they're preparing their customers for increased prices. Other stores like Target, which imports a lot from China, 25 to 33% roughly of their goods coming from China. So with this new round of tariffs, it's going to put price pressure and the average household is going to feel some of it. That all said, if there was a good time for those tariffs, now is a good time because inflation, you've been hearing from the Federal Reserve, inflation is tending to be cooler than anticipated. And I think the economy is in pretty good shape right now.
While we talk about the trade tension with China, there are other ways in which that nation is intertwined with ours. China is the largest foreign owner of U.S. debt, and it has offloaded about $20 billion worth of U.S. debt. That's $20 billion out of their total ownership of $1 trillion of American debt. What does that mean for our economy and for the world economy at large?
Well, I think it's definitely a sign that China wants to be noticed for what they may possibly do. I would be extremely surprised to see a wholesale reversion in their bond buying policy, because they've got to buy someone's bonds. They've got to put their money someplace. And so at any given point on a global scale, it is a zero-sum game. If they're not going to buy ours, who are they going to buy? And then someone else is going to come in and buy ours. So in the near term, it definitely ripples the market, and we may see some blips in bond yields because of this. But I don't think this will be a sustained and fundamental shift in the global bond market.
And is that enough to get investors to notice, or will that settle down before it hits the average American?
Well, I think investors are already noticing, but the average American, I think, will see very little impact from this.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Robert Dye, Chief Economist, Comerica Bank, based in Dallas, Texas. Coming up, Education Week continues with a discussion on the small school experience for college students.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Your next chance at $1,000 coming up in just 4 minutes in Keywords for Cash. But right now, it's Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, which is sponsored by St. Xavier University. A huge university may not seem like the best option for some students. Let's get some perspective on what academic life is like at a small school from Stephen Scutt, who is the president of Lake Forest College in Lake Forest. Stephen, welcome back to the program. Some people, when they go to college, they want to blend in, and blending into a large campus at, say, a state school requires going to lecture halls about the size of a stadium. But for others, that may be a rather uncomfortable experience. So, Stephen, tell us a little bit about the campus experience at Lake Forest College.
Well, thanks a lot, Rob. It's good to be with you this afternoon. I think there are two real benefits of going to a small college like Lake Forest, and the first you've just touched on, which is the great experience that students have over 4 years here. I'll say just another word about that. But the second benefit is actually what happens after graduation, and I'll say something about that too. As to the first, here on campus, all of our classes are small. They average well below 20 students per class, and that means that every student has daily interaction with outstanding faculty in all the different areas that we offer. In addition, students are coming to the college from all across this country and around the world, so they learn a lot from each other about life and about education and what lies ahead during their time together on campus. Because of our location near Chicago, we can offer great opportunities in theater and the arts for students interested in those areas. And we've got a championship athletic program also with 20 different sports, male and female sports, and something like a 60% winning percentage across all of those sports over the years. As to what happens after graduation, we've got better than a 95% placement rate for our students in all the areas that they want to go into, and we're near the top of our peer group in terms of the salaries they earn as well. So those things together make this really a special opportunity for students, and I think that's what a lot of our students respond to when they make the choice to come to a small college like Lake Forest.
No doubt about that. One question is, with all the wonderful stuff that you have to offer to students, it's going to be expensive, and more expensive than that state student a few miles away.
Well, that's interesting, Chris, and actually I appreciate that, because I think it's one of the misconceptions that a lot of people have. We give large amounts of financial aid to our students. I mean, almost every student at the college receives some form of financial aid, millions and millions of dollars. And as a result of that, in fact, today, the average student at Lake Forest College is actually paying out of pocket less than the average student 5 years ago. So it's really a great value that delivers terrific results. And for many, many of our students, they're paying less than they would be at the University of Illinois.
All right, Stephen. Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on the Noon Business Hour. That's Stephen Scutt, who is the president of Lake Forest College. Join us this time tomorrow as we wrap up Education Week on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. And still ahead in Technology Thursday, how school curricula are helping prepare students for the new workplace. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business News, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, sizable gains on Wall Street. The Dow up 273 points, NASDAQ higher by 99, and the S&P up 35. So advancing more than 1% across the board, with the NASDAQ up more than 1.25%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up almost 1%. Tesla is updating the software for the Model S and Model X to beef up battery safety. It's part of a probe into a vehicle fire in Hong Kong. The company said it's acting out of an abundance of caution and says those vehicles are 10 times less likely to experience a blaze than their gas-fueled equivalents. Crude oil futures are headed higher, up about 1.5%, near $63. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And we have higher grain prices again on basically slow planting pace and more wet weather in the forecast. Corn maybe by the weekend could be 50% planted, but we're normally 90%. And beans, it's thought that over half will be planted in June, with 30% of the corn planted in June. Corn still up 6 to 7, beans are up 4, wheat up 16.5, all on a very slow planting pace. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are rallying today. We'll see what's inspiring the markets.
Technology Thursday, we'll examine the role of science, technology, engineering, and math in the workplace. A look at Mayor Emanuel's legacy in attracting tech companies here in Chicago.
And on that note, Uber reportedly eyeing the city's old post office as the site for a huge operation. Center.
Charges are expected today in the murder of a pregnant 19-year-old Southwest Side woman who'd been missing for several weeks.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 262 points, the NASDAQ up 99, the S&P 500 up 34.
Rain, heavy thunderstorms, then breezy and humid later on. Right now in Chicago, it is about 68 degrees.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. The markets are higher at this hour. We're joined by Tim Grisky, the Chief Investment Strategist at the Inverness Council based in New York. Tim, welcome back to the program. After Monday's big-time sell-off, it looks like the markets have recovered quite nicely, shaking off any trade jitters with China. Is that simply it? What else is making investors feel a lot more confident as the week rolled on?
Well, Rob, certainly I think the big issue out there is trade, the China tariff negotiations. There is indication that there might be a meeting later this month now, which is certainly a quicker timetable than more recently indicated. There's also realization among investors that eventually we get some type of deal here. It's not a question of if, but when. Now, besides that, we're still getting corporate earnings for the first quarter, and retailers are starting to come in now. They're a month behind usually in terms of reporting, and results have been strong. Walmart had very strong numbers, and other companies also had strong earnings results. So the negative quarter that we expected to see in the for the first quarter earnings results looks like it may even be flat, which is quite a rebound from expectations earlier in the year.
And with Walmart, which is a company that really relies on free trade to keep its prices low, any concern that the tariff back and forth could derail Walmart's momentum?
Well, they came out and they said that they expected about a 3% cut or haircut to their earnings for their this fiscal year for them. So there will be a cost to retailers from this tariff war that we're experiencing. You know, that 3% probably is more like 5 or 6% on an annualized basis. So we do think Walmart in particular, being as well managed as it is, will be able to get through this tariff issue by tactically taking price increases either on a market by market or item by item basis, and really diffuse this issue for them. But other retailers may not be so lucky.
I saw a comment today that really hit home, the Trump tariff equivalent to one of the largest tax increases in decades. Does that strike you?
Well, I think it certainly is going to be a cost, Chris. Somebody has to absorb that, whether it's the consumer buying products that are being charged at a higher rate, or companies themselves deciding to eat that tariff in order to keep their sales momentum going. So there is a cost, but I think the end result, and this is really a bipartisan issue increasingly, the end result we think will be a much fairer trade deal between the U.S. and China in particular, and that intellectual property issue, which really overhangs everything in these trade discussions. We need to have China pay their fair share of royalties, of patents. They just can't take these things from us and not help refund the companies that are producing these things.
And while we're watching them mount this effort to try to give everybody something, how do you call this, Tim?
Well, I think eventually it happens. Now, is it months? Is it weeks away or months away? We're still in the camp that it's months away. But you know, every tweet coming out of the White House is different. And of course, other White House and government spokespeople say different things. Every day, there's different news on the outcome of these trade negotiations. Today, it's positive, and you're seeing a very strong market as a result of that.
Well, Tim, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council, based in New York. Coming up next, Technology Thursday, how education in tech, science, math, and engineering helping to diversify the workplace.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. It's also Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. In this segment, we're talking about how the so-called STEM courses, science, technology, engineering, and math, are key in the current job market. Welcome in Joseph McIntyre, who is the district president of Robert Half Technology, based in Chicago. Joe, welcome to the program. When it comes to STEM fields and STEM courses and how they can be applied to your child's career potential, how early is too early to start thinking of education courses and in terms of the vocation they will take up later in life?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Appreciate you guys having me on. I'd tell any parent, student, that's never too early. I think STEM is a growing field and absolutely is going to have an impact on kids that are in school today's futures and in their careers. Absolutely.
And what are some of the STEM courses that you could take either in elementary school or high school or college, and then how can they be converted into careers upon graduation?
Yeah, great question. You look at the field of STEM, and it's encompassing a lot: engineering, life sciences, anything in the physical, social sciences. Half the jobs, which impacts our industry, but half the jobs in STEM are computer or math-related positions or opportunities. So anything in, obviously, IT, mathematics, those fields or those kind of courses or coursework is something that they should be focused on. And then from a job standpoint, software development, programming, IT infrastructure, cybersecurity, all of those things are what really impact our division and the technology fields. But I hope that answers your question in terms of what types of classes or coursework they should be looking into.
And healthcare also, apparently.
Healthcare, yeah, physical healthcare is kind of encompassing that side of it, absolutely.
When students are playing with blocks when they're children, do you see some who say, "I've wanted to do this all my life, and this is for me"?
I I think, you know, the research that's out there, Chris, is the United States is lagging in test scores in the STEM fields. And I think that that's something that, you know, we have to work on. I think that's why there's such an emphasis on, you know, challenging students, challenging kids. You know, I have kids, you know, pushing our children into, you know, working harder in these areas. If we don't, frankly, the United States, you know, we have to be pushing that, you know, message and the coursework and education, because this is going to help sustain our economy. It's going to drive innovation, help us stay competitive globally from a job standpoint. And I just think that we have a lot of work to do in this area, and I think that's why there's a lot of, you know, really focus areas around STEM and everything that we're seeing today.
Is there a risk if you're making sure that your kids take all the proper STEM courses and get all of the background that they need, that by the time they do hit the workforce, that some of these STEM jobs that will be promised to them are replaced by automation?
You know, I don't know about that. I think the jobs, you know, that's kind of a two-part question. The jobs, you know, over time are going to change. You know, we see that you know, in the research that we have, you know, 50% of the jobs or over half the jobs in the future are going to rely on some sort of a math or computer background. So that's, I don't know if we'll be replaced, if that makes sense. I think the job might look a little differently in, you know, 20, 30 years than it maybe does today. But I think that, you know, people are still going to be needed. The perfect coursework to take in the direction, you know, I don't know if there's a roadmap to that success. I think it's just emphasizing education in these areas, applying ourselves, applying our knowledge, and learning more about STEM fields.
Joe, thanks for all the great information. Joseph McIntyre is district president at Robert Half Technology here in Chicago. And join us this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come today, Uber looks to Chicago as we review Mayor Emanuel's tech legacy for the city.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Uber could be the latest tech firm with a major presence here in Chicago as it considers space in the redeveloped old post office building. Let's talk about that and Mayor Emanuel's efforts to bolster tech in the city with Greg Hines, columnist at Crain Chicago Business. Here in Chicago, Greg, what's the plan?
Well, as researched by my colleague Danny Ecker, Uber is considering taking 450,000 square feet in the old post office building. It's the latest in a series of big leases there, and if it happens, it's not signed yet, but it looks fairly good. It's going to be a real plus for that building and that part of the loop.
That's there's a lot of people who could be hired for this.
Yeah, Uber has been expanding quickly in Chicago, and this lease would be the latest in a series of big expansions by tech companies. Google signed a big lease. Facebook has increased its space. Rahm Emanuel has had a part of that and would like to have you believe that he's solely responsible for it. But clearly, Chicago is a kind of lower priced alternative to the West Coast and started to come into its own with these big tech companies. You know, one is an exception, two is eyebrow raising, three or four, and we're now past that, is a trend. Salesforce, another company, has done the same thing. They're actually going to anchor or take 500,000 square feet in a new building at Wolf Point.
Well, it seems like you have three major tech hubs in the city right now. You have Fulton Market, you have the Merchandise Mart, which is totally rebranded from office furniture and patio displays, and then now the old post office. Chicago did whiff on Amazon, but it seems like the day of getting the big tech white whale, it may not be Amazon, but it may be somebody, and that day is coming.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 square feet and 1,000 jobs here, 400,000 or 500,000 square feet and 2,000 jobs there. You know, it adds up. It doesn't add up quite to Amazon, but it's considerable and it's healthy, and it's particularly healthy for people in the real estate business because tech companies like some of these older, kind of obsolete buildings that other kinds of companies don't want anymore. But the tech guys look at these big floor plates and kind of funky buildings that have interesting architectural features, and they say, great, sign us up.
All right, great story. We'll see you later on it. Greg Hines is columnist at Crane Chicago Business here in Chicago, and we'll take a look at the markets coming up.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Now WBBM Business News from Bloomberg, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, better than expected earnings results for two blue chips have Wall Street in the green. The Dow is up 228 points, or almost 1%. NASDAQ higher by 81 points, and the S&P advancing 30. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.2%. Now, these aren't quite as strong as the gains we saw earlier, so we're back in the red week to date for that column, although the losses are certainly pared down after Monday's rout. Walmart was able to meet sales estimates for the quarter with comp store sales up 3.4%. The discounter logged its best first quarter performance in 9 years. Sales of groceries, Walmart's biggest business, fueled the increase. And those are not a concern if tariffs are hiked. For those items on the shelves that could get caught up in the trade dispute, Walmart plans to pass along its higher costs to customers. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.